Those of you who have multiple children, you love those children as a group. Corporately, you love them together, but you also love them individually. And you have an individual relationship with each of them. There were 15 of us in my family. But I am convinced that Mama and Daddy not only loved us as a group, as their children, corporately, but that they loved us individually. When my brother Abraham came home from Vietnam, Mama was so glad that he had returned from Vietnam safely, had some close calls, but he had never been injured. And Mama wanted to show him how much she loved him and how much she cared for him and how much she missed him while he was away from her in Vietnam. So when Abraham came back home, Mama fixed him breakfast in bed every day for a solid week. And that let Abraham know that he ranked real high in Mama's estimation, in Mama's heart, and in Mama's love. And he understood that Mama thought about him and prayed for him when he was away in the military. And I just thought about that based on this song, "Thou Thinkest, Lord, of Me." I have received additional word from those who traveled to Jackson. I know my wife and daughter are just about back home. Well, my daughter is back home. They're pretty tired. And they informed me that they had a great time in Jackson at the State Youth Conference. Brother Darwin, as I mentioned this morning, he presented the sermon at the morning service. And I'm told, which did not surprise me, he did a fabulous job. You had about 40 young people responded at the extension of the invitation, and you had two of those young people wanted to be baptized. So the audience was inspired, they were encouraged, they were motivated, their hearts were touched, and many of them were moved to rededicate their lives to the Lord. So he well represented Hart Street at the youth conference. Turn to the passage now, Acts 27, verses 18 through 27. I want to emphasize one main point as I share from this passage of Scripture. And I want to just use as a theme this evening, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Sometimes we have difficulty in believing some of the commands of God, or believing some of the promises of God, or believing some of the reassurances that God gives us. Sometimes it sounds too good to be true. Sometimes we are unable to conceptualize how God is going to bring us through certain situations. Sometimes it is difficult for us to figure out in our own finite minds how God is going to deliver on a promise that he has made. But I want us to develop the faith and the mindset that was exemplified by the Apostle Paul, shown particularly in the midst of the storm that they encountered while they were en route to Rome, that Paul might appear before Caesar. It seems that circumstances and oppositions were conspiring against Paul and his fellow passengers on the ship. Verse number 18 lets us know, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship." They were trying to do everything within their power to survive. "And the third day," Dr. Luke records, "we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship," the equipment of the ship. They threw it overboard, trying to light the ship to increase their chances of surviving. Verse number 20 lets us know what dire straits they were currently in. "When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us." That is a great tempest, and a tempest is simply a very violent storm. "No small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Have you ever lost hope? Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like there's no way possible for me to come out of this alive or intact? "All hope was then taken away." Somebody has said that when hope is lost and honor dies, the man is dead. Hope is a vital element. It is a vital factor. Hope tethers our hearts to the future. We have hope of heaven, hope of salvation. Hope is defined insofar as Christian hope, biblical hope, is defined as rock-ribbed assurance based on the Word of God. Furthermore, hope is defined as the highest degree, of well-founded expectation of good. That's the Christian hope. And we talk about being saved by grace, being saved by faith, being saved by blood, being saved by obedience, but rarely do we emphasize the fact that we are also saved by hope. Hope is an essential prerequisite to our salvation. We are saved by hope. And if you don't have hope, you may as well not have faith. If you don't have hope, you may as well not have grace. Hope is essential, and hope is likewise indispensable when it comes to our salvation. Of course, this hope of which the divine writer speaks, that is Dr. Luke, "all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." This was not the hope of heaven, but this was the hope of surviving the storm. And at least in his estimation, he felt that there was no hope left. He believed that we don't have any more hope. Now, those were not, I am convinced, the sentiments of Paul. Luke was speaking of everybody apparently, but he was not aware of the reassurances that Paul had received. He was not aware of the promises that Paul had been given. But as far as Luke was concerned, all hope that they should be saved from the storm was taken away. But now let's read further. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened to me. You should have listened to what I had to say. In essence, we could have avoided all of this. We could have avoided all of this tumultuous, stormy weather. We could have avoided the seasickness. We could have avoided having to throw over essentials into the sea if you had just listened to me." But Paul didn't belabor that point. You know, a lot of times, in accordance with the wisdom that God makes available to us, we can avoid a lot of problems, a lot of heartaches, a lot of headaches, if we will listen to the wisdom of God. If we would listen to the wisdom of parents, if we would listen to the wisdom of elders, if we would listen to the wisdom of teachers, if we had listened to the wisdom of preachers, we could save ourselves a lot of trouble. Because after you've already had the trouble and still find yourself in the midst of the trouble, there's no need to belabor the point. Paul said, "Now you guys, if you had listened to me and not have loosed from Crete, which I recommended and advised, and to have gained this harm and loss, you wouldn't have had to experience this." But Paul, again, didn't believe the point. You have to deal with the reality. Sometimes people, when you offer them advice and provide them with guidance, and they do things that contradict or contravene the advice and guidance that you have offered, and then they end up in serious trouble. And they feel like you are going to tell them, I told you, and you wouldn't pay me no attention. You wouldn't listen. Your head is hard. You could have avoided all of this trouble if you just listened to your mama, or if you just followed the directions and guidance of your daddy, you would have been fine. But you don't get any special pleasure out of reminding them, "I was right. You were wrong. You could have saved yourself all this trouble." Paul didn't believe at that point. He dealt with the reality of the fact they had already gone through the storm, and they had some other things they were going to have to deal with. And so he's dealing with the current reality, not living in the past, not rehashing the past. He just said, "You should have listened to me. But now, verse 22, I exhort you to be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you." Wouldn't that be reassuring? Man, at least I'm going to survive. At least we're going to survive. Nobody is going to die. There will be no fatalities at all. But you will lose something. Yeah, the ship ain't going to survive, but you will. On your list of priorities, certainly your lives rank much higher than the ship and physical and material things. So he said, "Now, you don't have to worry about losing your life." I think he said, "Not a single hair one of you is going to perish, but the ship is going to be history." And the reason why he reaches this conclusion and exhorts them to be of good cheer, he said, this is the reason. Verse 23, I'm not just talking off the top of my head. I'm not whistling Dixies in the dark, but I have a rock-ribbed assurance based on the Word of God that everything is going to turn out fine. How come? Verse 23, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. This was his message, saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar." I know circumstances and conditions seem to contradict this promise. Not only are you going to be brought before Caesar, lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. In verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Paul had that rock-ribbed assurance that he was going to make it to Rome, based on the Word of God. While they were worrying, while they were tossing and turning, and they fasted. There were 276 individuals on the ship. They fasted for 14 days, hadn't taken anything to eat. But Paul encouraged them to take something to eat. They had been fasting all of that time, but Paul had the reassurance in his own heart that I'm going to make it to Rome. Despite the storm, I'm going to make it. Despite the owner of the ship and the captain of the ship dissing me, as it were, rejecting my counsel, I'm going to make it. Despite all that we are experiencing, despite the darkness, despite the clouds, despite the multiple tempests, I'm going to make it. And let me give you just one more passage and I'll be through. Acts 23 in verse number 11, where he was in Jerusalem. The Bible says, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul." This is long before he boarded the ship. "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Despite the circumstances, despite the conditions, despite the adversities, despite the storms, despite the tumultuous weather, despite the tossing waves, despite the darkness, despite not seeing the sun, moon, or stars in many days, Paul had the assurance. I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know exactly what he has in mind, how he's going to orchestrate my getting to Jerusalem, but I believe him. I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Let us cultivate that same kind of faith. No matter what happens to us, we want to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him. And he indeed will direct our paths. Can you say like Paul said, "I believe God"? that it shall be, even as it was told me. We're staking our salvation on the Word of God. If you are here this evening and need to rededicate your life to God, and you believe the promises of God, you are a Christian, but you've fallen by the way, and you are staking your future on the promises of God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or if you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a member of the body of Christ, and would like to become a member of the body of Christ, would like to bring your life into alignment with His holy will and His holy word, and you believe God that it shall be even as it is told you and told us. Jesus loved you enough that He died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. He paid the price for your sins. He didn't have any of His own. He died for you. He shed His blood for you in order to forgive you of your sins.